There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. And glad to have you here on this Monday, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Phone number here, 343-0106. Also works for the text line, 343-0106. Couple things on the list. Number one, we are a week out from Veterans Day, and Wayne Sermon is going to join us here in hour number two of the show to talk about Veterans Day Parade coming up on Monday and activities associated with that. We will do that coming up about 105, 106 when we get started with hour number two. Also, we are a year out from the 2020 elections. I would argue, well, yesterday we were one day out from the elections. Election Day will be Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. So now we can get started with the politics, right, for the presidential cycle being a year out. Yeah, it never ends. It's constant campaigning, but now at least we can put a number to it, a year out from Election Day. Speaking of which, so we talked about it this morning, a trio of polls coming out saying, two of them said 49% of Americans wanted the president impeached. Let's see, yeah, two said 49%. I think it was the NBC Wall Street Journal poll and the Fox News poll, and then the MSN poll said it was like 54%. And a lot of people have been pushing back on those polls, and rightly so. You look at the polls in 2016 that said there was no chance in Hades that President Trump was going to win. But he did. Then candidate would become President Trump would win, but he did. So I thought about this, Dalton, and I know I hate this because Dalton has the heavy lift on this. And I know we have not let today's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question fully air. We haven't let it, you know, breathe enough. But I want to boot that one. Okay, so our current question is, if the impeachment inquiry hearings are televised, will you be watching? 67% of y'all say no. Rest of you saying yes. I want to switch that, Dalton. I want to switch it, and so we can add another poll to the discussion. Maybe the Drudge Report will pick up our unscientific poll. Should President Trump be impeached? Let's mirror what was asked to those other ones. Should President Trump be impeached? And let's see how our poll results come in on that. So if we can switch that, and we can put that up sometime during the show, we'll get the voting going on that. We'll calculate those votes, and then people can have those to compare and contrast. How about that? Does that work? Also, while we're at it too, if this impeachment inquiry doesn't bear fruit, in other words, that the Senate doesn't vote to remove the president over some kind of, because I believe the president will be impeached by the House. I've been saying it since September, still saying it, that they will impeach, and I believe the Senate will not vote to remove. Okay, I think that's what's going to happen. In that case, should the Dems have to pay? If the Democrats are mounting this, they have brought this lawsuit, if we're going to use the analogy here, they brought the lawsuit of impeachment. And once, think about the history of the next big thing that was going to bring down President Trump, one after another after another. If the latest whistleblower discussion, if it doesn't bear fruit, it turns out to be a dead end, whatever it is, should the Democrats have to pay legal expenses? You know how they do that? Like if you get in some contract or something, and you'll have to pay legal expenses of the other party if you lose. Should the Democrats have to pay legal expenses for the president on this? Should there be some kind of, for any outside counsel, maybe other than Rudy Giuliani? How about other outside counsel? I don't know about Giuliani. Other outside counsel, should the DNC have to fork over some money to pay the legal expenses for President Trump? I don't know. So those are two things, just as we get started today, I want to talk about. Also, I mentioned polling here, and maybe we'll get the take of our buddy Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News. He joins us in just a second. You know, the polling I had going on here, the big story nationally, you heard about it during the top of the hour news, McDonald's CEO fired after admitting to a consensual relationship with an employee. Now, they have protected that employee's name, who that is, we don't know, but we have some ideas, and we're giving you a chance to vote right now, and well, a lot of y'all are voting at this. This is on my Twitter feed, at FM Talk 1065. McDonald's CEO fired after admitting a consensual relationship with an employee. Who do you think the employee is? I wanted to give you more names, but Twitter polls are relegated to four choices. Only four choices in a Twitter poll. So those names I put up, number one, Mayor McCheese. Number two, Grimace. Number three, Birdie. And number four, the big man himself, Ronald McDonald. Who do you think might have been involved in this relationship? So that's what we're asking. Love to hear from you. Online opinion poll question is one thing. What happens on my Twitter feed is something completely different. The 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question will be about whether the president should be impeached, so we can compare and contrast that poll with what's happening nationally. That's up. Thank you, Dalton. We'll compare and contrast that with what's up on these national polls. On the Twitter feed, I do wonder, is it Mayor McCheese? Right now, 44% of y'all think it's Grimace. Why is Grimace running away with this? Why does everybody think it's Grimace that was with the McDonald's CEO? What? Defend your vote there. Coming right back, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. What if Jeff Sessions gets in the Senate race? What does this mean? We'll ask him next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, 1217 FM Talk 1065 and the Monday edition of Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. Glad you're here. Text line's open at 343-0106. I'd love the text line to be open. Although, Dalton, you see some of the comments there about this, my latest poll over on Twitter. The stuff that comes in on the text line is, you know what, we might do a whole nother off-air broadcast with just what just what comes in on the text line. Okay, so we have, not to be confusing, but to be confusing here, two polls going on. Okay, first one, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. So we just... Usually we leave a poll question up all day. We pulled the one from the morning to put this one up because so many people complaining of the polling that came out, the trio we were talking about this morning, the Fox News poll, the Wall Street Journal NBC poll, and the MSN poll that showed 49% in two of them of Americans wanting the president impeached, 52% in the MSN poll. That's off the top of my head. I think 52 wanted it. And I, you know, a lot of people say, why are you reading those polls? That's all. Well, okay, number one, do I understand public opinion polls and how that game works? Sure. But they are polls. They are done. You got to look at the question, look at the methodology, but they do poll a lot of people and ask them that question. But do they get a real take on what the pulse of the American people is? I mean, you can look back to 2016 and look at the failings of pollings when it came to President Trump, then candidate Trump, who would become President Trump. So I put this one up just to, and maybe we'll have this unscientific poll get picked up by the Drudge Report. I would think not, but could. Should President Trump be impeached? Okay, so you can vote when you go to the front page of fmtalk1065.com. It's a very short and sweet opinion poll. I don't think we've even done something like this before that simplistic, but I'm just on the fly here. We're doing that to get the numbers, so you can vote. Front page of fmtalk1065.com. Look to the right, you'll see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo. That's where you vote. And then the other one, and it's really the one that I want to hear more from my buddy Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News about this question coming off of the McDonald's CEO being fired after admitting to a consensual relationship with an employee. Who do you think the employee is? And it has been strong since about 8 this morning that Grimace is leading the pack. So I don't know what I mean, Todd spent a lot of time around polling and what's going on out there. Most people think it's Grimace, Todd.
Grimace, yeah, but the Hamburglar, I don't know. He was always my favorite.
It's
the Hamburglar.
Well,
but
of course,
Ronald McDonald always creeped me out. I got to be honest with you. I never thought that dude was okay.
Well, see, Ronald is so, because Twitter always limits you. You know, you can have four picks in any of your polls. So Mayor McCheese is at 24%. Grimace is at 43%. Birdie is at 14%, and the big man himself, Ronald McDonald, at 19%. So we don't know yet, but we're just trying to get the take of the people on this.
Well, sure. Well, my question is, you know, when is this CEO for McDonald's going to give a speech about why he was the real victim, right? It's such a bad message to send to people that, you know, having affairs with employees is, you know, it's a bad thing, right? We're sending a bad message. Where's the double standard?
That's right. Well, I think Ronald McDonald probably outranks him. As Dalton said this morning, if this guy is the CEO, then Ronald McDonald is the CCO, the chief clown officer of McDonald's. So, all right. So much to get into, and you pointed out in your email that went out to folks today, we're basically a year out from the 2020 election, right, from the big day.
That's right. We're a year out. It was really yesterday, but, you know, everybody's time changed, so we'll just count it as today. But, you know, we're, you know, November 3rd, 2020, we're 1 year away. And, man, if you think about it, that's just really crept up on us really quickly. So, you know, I went and looked at some of the polling that's been done, and it's like you were saying, people are going to consider the source. But the New York Times had a terrific poll out today. And it wasn't one of these nationwide polls, right? So many times, especially in 2016, people got so caught up in the national polls, where it's basically just, you know, 1,000 people. You're asking them whether or not they would support this candidate or that candidate nationwide, when nationwide really doesn't matter. As we saw in the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote, but it didn't matter because Trump won the Electoral College. So what the New York Times did was they went state by state to some of these battlegrounds, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, to see how Trump is doing compared to the top Democratic candidates. And Sean, the results are fascinating. And what they're doing, it's really frightening. It's really scaring a lot of Democrats across the country, because they're seeing that, yes, Joe Biden actually competes pretty well against Trump. But when you go to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, Sanders is winning one of those states, but everybody else, they're either even or Trump is winning in those battleground states. That is a recipe for an Electoral College win for Donald Trump if the Democrats elect Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. And those are the two candidates that are gaining momentum in the Democratic primary right now.
Yeah, the interesting part of this too is you'll see the machine working against the Democrat machine working against Biden, as you pointed out, but the numbers showing Biden being the closest competitor to President Trump here, but he may not get a chance to compete against him, because, like you said, the ones that are trending, Warren and Sanders, and you could, you know, go on down the list there. And this is good to see, because this is where the rubber meets the road, and good point, because the way. If you take 1,000 people in a national poll and say, okay, they're representative of this many Americans, right? Each one then would be valued up. I think, what are there, 350 million of us? So each of these 1,000 has some ratio. But then you go to a state, like you pointed out, the ones he's got to win. And this is very interesting that, okay, Pennsylvania in that was interesting to me. So Pennsylvania, so if Joe Biden versus President Trump, Biden wins by three. Plus three,
well,
in Pennsylvania,
well,
right?
I've been looking at the likely voters. If you go down further, the likely voters has him only winning by one. So
these are okay.
I should have been more precise this morning. But the New York Times, the registered voters is first, but then go down further in the story, they go to likely voters, and Biden's only up by one in Pennsylvania.
Right. So, but tell the other part of the story. This is what's interesting. So Biden's only up by one with Likely's, but then you go to Sanders, go to Elizabeth Warren, and watch what the numbers do.
Yeah, and then Trump is winning by one versus Bernie Sanders, and winning by two versus Elizabeth Warren. Look, Pennsylvania obviously should be Biden's background,
yes.
Right? I mean, he's from there, he's born there, represented the next door state.
Yep.
So to only be winning by one is a big deal. But Sean, I look at it like this: when you look at some of these battleground states, these are Midwestern, you know, blue collar, a lot of them states. This is how Trump won the presidency to begin with. You know, just look at what's different between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Well, the one thing that really stands out is that Biden isn't proposing any kind of radical health care change. He's basically wanted to double down on Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
But Sanders and Warren are both all in on Medicare for all. That's a big change. And I think people are waking up to, you know, how radical the changes could be. And people in these Midwestern states, they've already been hurt by rising health care costs. I think it could really be a problem for Democrats if they nominate one of these two.
Okay. So then today, or was it today or over the weekend, Speaker Pelosi comes out and, you know, I won't read the whole quote. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here's the quote. I got the quote. So Speaker Pelosi says, they said in the Hill.com said they issued a stern warning to the 2020 Democrat primary field that progressive policies that might fire up the party's liberal wing could prove damaging in the general election. Pelosi said what works in San Francisco does not necessarily work in Michigan. What works in Michigan works in San Francisco, talking about workers' rights and sharing prosperity. Remember, November, you must win the Electoral College. So Nancy Pelosi gets the message, gets the polling that you're talking about.
Yeah, they ought to listen to her. And that's exactly right, because all these policies, whether it's Medicare for all or the Green New Deal or, you know, all these kind of far left policies, they would have been laughed off the stage 10 years ago in a Democratic debate. But in this one, they're leading because that really gets the base fired up. The party has moved left. That's not a criticism. That's just the truth. It's moved to the left. And Nancy Pelosi is right. What works for the fired up base in Brooklyn, you know, or in San Francisco just doesn't cut it. And so and folks, with the economy going like it is, you know, yes, President Trump has made some missteps and he's, you know, it's been the Twitter presidency, but they'd rather go with, you know, somebody that they know rather than a radical agenda. They don't know how it's going to work out. And I look toward healthcare actually being a big, you know, inflection point whenever that becomes a policy argument in this debate, as far as 2020 goes. If Trump and the Republicans can figure something out about healthcare, a message on healthcare to sell to the American people, they really could wrap this whole thing up. Of course, the other variable being impeachment doesn't get out of hand.
Well, how much of a headwind is that? Because I believe, you know, I said it in September, and I'll stick with it, that I think the president will be impeached by the House. I do not think he'll be removed by the Senate. Somebody said that would make him the first impeached president running for a second term. I mean,
that's correct.
That's novel. It's a novel thing to say. It's accurate. Does it matter?
Well, I think a lot of that comes. A lot of that will be decided about what is the substance of the impeachment charges, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if it was just right now, if we went with everything right now that's out in the open, I'm not sure you could really sell it to where a majority of the American people just said, okay, no. I think we would already know that if that was the case. If there's something new, and something new and crazy comes to light, there's always that chance. But as it stands right now, I just don't see anything that Republicans are going to abandon him on. But again, it all goes back to those Midwestern, you know, Rust Belt kind of states where these voters who really don't claim a party, they just want, you know, success.
Mm-hmm.
What do they think? Are they going to go with? Is it going to damn him enough in their minds to make a difference? I don't know. We just don't know. But it will be a factor in the election. I wonder if you know, sometimes voters want to get past things. If Democrats might risk it here, they may risk going too far you know, dragging it out too far to where, okay, look, it's done. You didn't win, so let's move on. Sometimes voters get fatigued by things like that.
We got 1 minute left here till the hard break, and we'll come back and talk more. But in that New York Times poll, another one that stood out, I know the Rust Belt states you mentioned, but also our neighbor right here in Florida, President Trump, now I guess the newest resident of Florida, President Trump, is I mean, he beats Sanders, he beats Warren, he's close with Biden.
And again, if the Democrats, and a lot of them talked about electability in the beginning of the race, if they really want to somebody who's going to be electable, you might as well go with Biden. And I think it's pretty obvious why the Trump campaign has been focusing on Biden as a potential candidate, because he does the best against Trump.
But he's not going to get a chance. It looks like right now he's not going to get a chance to, you know, to give it a shot. The Dems will. He will be primaried, maybe. We'll see. All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about the newsletter in your inbox. We'll talk about what's going on the website. And, oh, yeah, dive into some Alabama senatorial politics here when we come back. I got a question about that, too. Which candidate for Senate has gone to the most football games lately, if you watch social media?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, you got a chance to win them before you can buy them. Tickets to Journey and the Pretenders coming to the Wharf Amphitheater in August. Your chance on tickets coming up sometime between now and 2 o'clock. All right, we continue our discussion with my buddy, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And you can get that email from Todd in your inbox, or let's just say from the AL Daily News family, 6 days a week. That's right.
That's right, yeah. Sunday, you know, Sundays we have our weekend digest. Comes about Sunday afternoon, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. But yeah, daily news, that's what we mean. Every day, an email right to your inbox giving you really all the news you need to know to start your day. We don't give you too much. We don't give you too little. It's just the right amount. But if you want to read more, you can. So yeah, just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up. It's free, no cost at all. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right. Maybe one of the articles that could run in the Sunday Digest this week is which candidate for U.S. Senate, Alabama Senate, went to the most college football games. I mean, right now I can't decide between Byrne and Tuberville who's going to the most games.
Well, I can tell they're all going because, you know, we tailgate at Auburn every week, and every week I get a text from some campaign. But Tuberville sometimes. Byrne was last week saying, hey, we want to come by your tailgate. They said they couldn't find us this week, but you know, ever since Senator Sessions came to the tailgate last time, I guess it was last year, last Arkansas game, everybody wants to come by. So I think we're going to see more candidates, especially the bigger games, you know, Iron Bowl, Georgia game, stuff like that.
Yeah, smart politics here in our state. You mentioned Sessions, so let's do this. Here we go, folks. Pull up your chair. So we have till the end of this week for Jeff Sessions to say he's in, right, to qualify.
That's right. Friday at 5 o'clock.
What's your take? What's your feeling?
Look, Sean, you know, 2 weeks ago when these rumors were really starting to hit their fever pitch, I was on the no side. I was saying, you know, I just don't see it. I don't see a path forward. I wrote a column about it, about how it was really problematic. There were, you know, many downsides to Sessions getting in the race. But since then, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of folks that are in the quote-unquote Sessions world, and I've got to tell you, I have changed my mind to thinking that, yes, I do think he's probably going to get in this race. That means I think it's more likely than not, you know, greater than 50-50. I don't really know where I put my percentage, but I think by Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I think he will be a candidate for U.S. Senate. And, you know, there's probably a greater chance of him actually winning this race than I gave him credit for a week ago when I wrote that column. I thought Kyle Whitmire did a good job in explaining sort of the cognitive dissonance and or lack thereof in the Alabama voter, both you know, being capable of both loving Sessions and loving Trump and not having one to do with each other. You're always going to have people that say, well, because Trump doesn't like Sessions, I don't like Sessions. That's going to be a category.
Oh, man, I hear it from folks a lot on this station.
The question is whether it's the majority of right. the GOP electorate, and there's going to be a big electorate showing up on March 3rd. So I don't know. I don't think it's quite the do or die problem that I wrote about a week ago. It's still a huge problem. No question about it.
Oh, yeah, because it brings up a lot of questions, man. A lot of questions.
It does. And, you know, Sean, I also think it brings up questions for other candidates. You know, think yes. about Tommy Tuberville. He's the one that's been most aggressive in like his criticism of Sessions. Well, what would he have done in the Russia, you know, investigation? Would he have recused or not?
I mean, I point out that he doesn't have a law degree, nor would have attorney general or qualified.
It may put them in some uncomfortable situations. Bradley Byrne, too. What would he have done?
But that's the... Listen, we'll get into it, because a defense of what Jeff Sessions did is one of those things that's unpopular. One of my big picnic basket full of unpopular opinions. We can get to that in a second. I do want to think, okay, so by Friday, Jeff Sessions says he is in. You know what? I got this picture in my head, like a scene from a movie where somebody walks into a card game and picks up one under the table and flips the sucker over and sends everything going everywhere. Because I think it does that in Republican ranks. And I think it does that. You know, you think about Southwest Alabama down here in AL1. I think it's a tough deal for Bradley Byrne to have Jeff Sessions get in. I think it runs, you know, a John Merrill out, I think, as well. I if anybody benefits, it would be, I think, Tuberville and Roy Moore, for, you know, what it will benefit Roy Moore, but it'll be a benefit to them more than anybody else if Sessions gets in.
Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right, especially about Roy Moore. And I wrote that Monday that, look, Roy Moore is the only candidate that would be not affected in the least by Jeff Sessions getting in there. His supporters are his supporters. They're not going anywhere. That's his base. I do think every other candidate would lose support from at least some of their kind of coalition of voters. Byrne, Tuberville, both.
Really?
And look, yes, and I think the candidates and their campaigns are going to tell you, no, we wouldn't be affected. The other guy would be affected.
Right.
I think everybody would be affected by Sessions getting in the race.
Yeah, they've all said they wouldn't be affected, right? I mean, they've all said in press releases last week, oh, it's not going to affect us.
Right. Yeah. It's the other guy.
Yeah.
I think they would all be affected in some way. We don't know exactly what. Sure, the Mobile thing, I think that's a factor. But look, Tuberville has benefited from a lot of the old school Sessions supporters who may not like Bradley Byrne, who may have not been on. You know, love Bradley Byrne's style of conservatism. You know, Sessions.
But Tuberville's already criticizing
conservatism.
But Tuberville is criticizing Sessions before he gets out of the gate. I mean, from his, you know, his questions about his support for President Trump, which I'm so sick of. There's not a one of them running in the Republican primary and include Jeff Sessions who would not stand with the President of Washington on 99.9% of the stuff. So we'll hear it for the next year, but it's bullshit stuff. I mean, it really is. It's not. It is. It's just crap, is what it is. But Tuberville was saying this morning on radio up in Birmingham, was saying that Sessions is going to. He intimated in not so many words that Sessions would get in because Sessions needs a job. Basically, Sessions is short on money. That's why Jeff Sessions is going to get into this. That's bull crap as well, Tommy.
Yeah, look, I heard that because I was the next guy. I did that radio show too, and I was listening to it. I thought, man, that is an interesting choice. You know, Tuberville's been really aggressive in his kind of brushback language and rhetoric on Sessions. Sean, I think it's a risk. I really do. Now, maybe they have some polling. Maybe they have some kind of message guru that's telling them, no, this is what to do. But look, there is no majority of Republicans in Alabama that doesn't include people who also like Jeff Sessions or have voted for him religiously in the past. And I just can't – I see it as a big risk for Tuberville to go so hard against him. I mean, I think, you know, if it was me running things, I think a more respectful tone would probably be what I would choose.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, maybe they're smarter than I am. I don't know. I just – maybe he's setting himself up as the anti-Sessions, you know, that's who you want to see in a runoff or something like that. I just think it's an interesting choice that he's going that aggressively against Sessions, a guy that has been by far the most popular politician in Alabama for a long time before the Trump situation.
Well, I'll tell you what their polling must be telling them, is to go against Sessions as a career politician. Now, I think maybe that's the message Tommy was coached to say. Tuberville was coached to say, do that, and then he went and acted like Jeff Sessions needs money. That's why he's running for office. Come on, man. But maybe that's the whole thing, that you know, he's been there. And I think there's an argument, as much as I'll defend Jeff Sessions, there's an argument to be made that people say, well, you know, it's just more of the same. Although, let me point out that the way I understand this, you can correct me if I've gotten it incorrectly, that the seniority that then-Senator Sessions had is somewhat banked in the Senate. So if he would be elected, I mean, he wouldn't still have to, he couldn't go back into all his old committee appointments, but he would have that seniority, right? It's like bankable.
Well, that's a question that really hasn't been tested. The only time it ever was, you know, back when old Arlen Specter switched parties. So I don't know that there's a real answer to that question, but I don't think people necessarily really care. We would have to be starting over anyway.
But it is important for Alabama. I mean, it's important because when Shelby decides he's not going to run, we could go from, you know, just a few years ago having the most senior senatorial delegation in Washington to having the new kids on the block, man.
It matters a great deal. It would be a huge advantage if Sessions could come and say, yes, I get my seniority back and we're going to be on these committees. I'm saying it's not a sure thing. And until Mitch McConnell or the GOP caucus actually said so, we don't know. We don't know if he would or not. That would be an excellent thing to report if you're Jeff Sessions. Now, maybe he can intimate it. Maybe he can say, yeah, let's see, I get to go back. But we don't really know, because normally, in a normal circumstance, that, you know, any new senator wouldn't get that same seniority. You know, another thing is, Sessions was never one to use his seniority like Shelby to spend 20 years on appropriations and do things like that. Sessions was more of a messenger. He was more of fighting for the cause. And so it would be interesting to see him become more of a senior senator who was using his position to get on the right committees and things like that. I would find that very interesting transition for Jeff Sessions. But look, you're right. You talked about flipping the poker table over. I agree completely. This changes everything. We can talk to, we're blue in the face about what we think it may do to the race, what we think the numbers might skew this way or that way. All we really know is that it changes everything. We don't know how many times the president will tweet. I think it's a pretty good bet that he will, but how many times he actually attacks Sessions, what other candidates actually do with that, whether it ends up on TV and ads. I mean, this thing could get really messy, but keep in mind, you've got a really short window between now and March 3rd. And with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's in between. So what can really penetrate? What can really, get in between the noise and connect with voters? It's going to be a wild race if Sessions really gets in.
It is. And, I wonder, I'll turn it around and argue for another candidate in a second, but couldn't Jeff Sessions, former Senator Sessions, say, when Tommy Tuberville goes on and on about his support for President Trump, President Trump is, I will argue this unpopular opinion, that President Trump is only President Trump because you and I have been talking about this for a year or two, that it was the Main Street populism that was made famous night after night on nightly news out of the rotunda. There stood Senator Sessions talking about Main Street conservatism during the Obama years. That is the message that Donald Trump took and won on, let alone came here to Mobile, had that senator give his endorsement, put the hat on, and put him on the map. So where were you, if I'm Senator Sessions, where were you, Tommy Tuberville, when all that was going on?
Sean, I can't argue that at all.
No, because I'm damn exactly right, and they can all stick it.
you're exactly right. Well, another way to say it is that before the Trump agenda existed, it was called the Sessions agenda. He
Correct.
Was doing it in the Senate. He was doing the illegal immigration thing. It wasn't popular. Sometimes amongst Republicans, he was fighting against illegal immigration on the trade issue. That wasn't popular. On those two issues especially, and a handful of others, Trump more or less co-opted Sessions' agenda. Look, Jeff Sessions did not give his endorsement to Donald Trump lightly. He saw somebody who was taking up the issues that he championed in the Senate, and that's what did it. And so you flash forward here to the Senate race. I wrote about this a little bit. You know, all due respect to these candidates, I know them, I like them, but I think Jeff Sessions has, you know, observed this race, and I don't think he would be getting in right now if he saw a standard bearer, if he saw somebody taking up the mantle of the issues and his brand of conservatism effectively. I just don't think he sees that. But also, Sean, I don't think he sees that in the current Republican caucus in the U.S. Senate. I don't think he sees anybody in the U.S. Senate right now taking up his brand of conservatism. I think that's a big factor in him considering getting in this race, and that includes these candidates. And look, hats off to them. They've run their tails off. They've raised a bunch of money. The race is brand new. You're really just starting to get a feel for where you're going to be for some of them. So I'm not being critical of these candidates, but I don't think Jeff Sessions would be considering getting in this race if he was comfortable with, you know, the slate of candidates and where they are and what that means for his legacy, especially the legacy of his message.
No, that's a real tell from you, because you're right. I didn't think about it that way. If Jeff Sessions thought there was somebody in there that was the right person for the job, he probably wouldn't be getting in after all these all this time, because I would differ with Tommy Tuberville. I don't think Jeff Sessions needs the money and is getting in for that. So, and if anybody would be the heir apparent to the Trump legacy in Alabama, shouldn't it be the person that came up with the legacy that President Trump took and made the Trump legacy?
Well, it'll be interesting for me to see. Let's just say Sessions gets in and starts talking about policy, talking about his service in the Senate, talks about Trump. He's going to say things like, look, you know, I was talking about this immigration problem before anybody else was. He's going to say, look, I've been talking about our trade deficit with China forever and how we need to reset our trade policy. You know, I'm going to support the president 100% on this because it was my agenda first. And the interesting thing about it is the way he can talk about President Trump is that he can do so under having been attacked viciously by the president. And the reason why that's important, Sean, is it comes across as more authentic. In this era of just personally hurt feelings and stuff like that, normally if you get attacked by the president like that, you're probably going to change your mind and feel like, no, you know, I'm not for this guy. He's a jerk. I'm changing my mind. So for Sessions to actually still support him, yep, and still be for him and for all these issues, there's a window I see there of it actually coming across as more effective and more authentic, especially from these others who, you know, just kind of continue to spout Trumpisms and things. There's a chance there. So, you know, whereas a week ago I would have told you, man, I think he's risking a lot by getting in this race, I'm starting to see a little bit more now why he's considering it versus, you know, the risk of being, you know, a victim of the Trump tweet barrage.
Okay, one more question, because I pushed off the news break, to heck with it. Because I would have one last story from today's email from Alabama Daily News. And this trial begins on the congressional map lawsuit. Now, this could be somewhat confusing, because I've been talking at length for years now about the chance we could lose a congressional district. But this is something different, right?
Right. This is a lawsuit that got filed back in 2018, and actually three different states. You know, this was filed in three different states. Alabama is just the first to go to trial. And essentially, it is arguing that, you know, Alabama should have more than one, should have two majority-minority congressional districts. Right now, Terry Sewell's district, the 7th District of Alabama, is drawn to be a majority-minority district, majority-black district. And if you look at the racial disparities in Alabama or where people live geographically, it's drawn. I mean, you could just draw a map around it, and that is her district. And it's drawn to be that way because, honestly, you could easily draw, you know, seven districts that would be Republican districts if you split them up that way. But they're saying, look, they think that because that just having one of seven congressional districts does not match Alabama's, you know, about 27%, you know, black population. Well, that's true. The question is, can you actually draw a district like that? And Republicans, well, actually, it's not Republicans. It's the state of Alabama that's arguing, well, hey, to actually draw another district like that, we would have to gerrymander the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought y'all were against gerrymandering. So it's a real complicated question. It'll be interesting to see what kind of arguments go on at the trial and how the judge responds. I don't see this really becoming an issue as far as like new lines being drawn before they're actually supposed to. I mean, you got to remember, we're taking a census next year, and from that we will be drawing new congressional districts. We may lose one, we may not. We don't know. But it would be strange to me to see a judge, and especially Circuit Court, Supreme Court, say, no, we want you to redraw them right now, you know, a year out of when you're going to be redrawing them anyway.
There he is, Todd Stacy, who puts up with me every Monday and maybe more days a week than that. Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And the newsletter, how easy is it to get on that?
It's really easy, and it's free. You're going to want to get the email in your inbox. It's just aldailynews.com. Click subscribe at the top of the page, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. We'll be grateful to have you as a subscriber.
As always, fun talking with you, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, I can't promise that, but I will be back soon, right after this, on Midday Mobile. Hey, coming up, changing gears too, Wayne Servant from the Mobile Area Veterans Commission joins us to talk about all the stuff going on for Veterans Day a week from today. And plus, we're going to take this show live to the USS Alabama Fantail. We'll be on the battleship on Wednesday. More details on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I guess somebody's, I'm fired up, feistier than normal. Somebody said angry. I'm not angry. Y'all don't know angry. No, it's somewhat bothered by, it doesn't bother me when candidates just continue to spew the same stuff. It bothers me when I hear it regurgitated somewhere else that somebody believed it. I'm telling you, everybody who is named or not named yet on the Republican side running in the primary for U.S. Senate, they're all going to support President Trump. Okay, just this whole idea that they're, understand, this is these are the people working at campaigns. Now, they hate for me to say it, but telling you that there's not a Republican amongst them that's not going to support the president's policies. So just now let's get into who can beat Doug Jones. There's that question, right? Who out of the Republicans can beat Doug Jones? And then out of that list, when you winnow it down in your head, then who's going to be the best person going forward? Because remember, this is a long-term game. This is somebody who will be in office most likely. Yeah, the cycle. They'll be in office. If President Trump wins a second term, this person will still be in office after President Trump is out of office, after he's term limited. Okay? They'll still be in office in the Senate. So the Alabama's Senate has to be a sidecar to the President Trump motorcycle is inaccurate. It's its own vehicle. It can help the president all day long, but it still has to go on after that. It still has to be there, that seat, for the people of Alabama, like you, like me. That's what gets me fired up. That and I'm off the sugar and carbs today. So really, that's probably, it's just no carbs that has done it. All right. Coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. That text line for unpopular and popular opinions is open for you. It's 343-0106, 343-0106.